Nyttårssalget er i gang hos Dressmann. Nå får du opp til 70% rabatt på et stort utvalg skjorter, gensere, bukser og mye, mye mer. Opp til 70% rabatt ved kjøp av to eller flere varer. Salget finner du i butikk og på dressmann.com.
En podcast fra Podplay.
If I took the trooper and kind of molded it with stylistically like how Johnny Cash would approach it. So, and you know, had the foot stomp going, and I thought that might be kind of fun, you know, and then I get the crowd to sing along on the chorus.
You'll take my life, but I'll take yours too. You'll fire your musket, but I'll run you through.
Ja, da jeg klar for et sent på kvelden intervju med en kar over dammen, vil jeg tro, Miles Kennedy. Og når det sent på kvelden, da får vi bare håpe at ikke ungene kommer inn på rommet her. Jeg har sett og ventet på ja, Miles Kennedy, kjent fra Alter Bridge, ikke minst Slash, han sunget mye med. Vart jo hyret inn da Axl Rose takket nei, eller nekta, og kom på Rock'n'Roll Hall of Fame-utdelingen. Og så det her en fyr som folk ringer når de trenger en vokalist eller gitarrist. Og nå en straks ut med nytt soloalbum. Det tredje. Aldri pratet med fyren. Virker som en skikkelig. Det liksom rockens mest stødige menneske, føler jeg. Så det her blir sikkert pertentlig og greit, håper jeg i hvert fall. Kjekt med litt pertentlige folk innimellom. Vi får se. Og No Maiden må det være. Han har jo coveret The Trooper, blant annet. Sagt at han har hørt en del på Maiden i oppveksten, så vi får se om vi litt Maiden-prat etter hvert.
Hey.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Doing fine. Nice to see you. How are you?
It's good. You know, I'm excited. It's hard to believe it's already solo record number 3. It seems like just yesterday when I was trying to, you know, figure out whether I was even going to make solo records, but no, it's good. Everything's great. You're looking at one of the most lucky somebody who's aware of how lucky he is, so I don't take that for granted.
I hope you you're aware of that, how lucky
yes,
you are.
Very aware.
And lots of power this time, pure rock. The tunes I've heard, and tell me about your new guitar. What role did your signature guitar play in making this record?
It played a big role. Yeah, it kind of like the phrase I've used a few times is it informed me. You know, there's just something like once we finished putting this guitar together, we spent about 2 years. We started working with the gang at Paul Reed Smith, and you know, it was something that we wanted it to have certain things. And so when all the boxes were checked and finally, you know, it was done, I found myself just playing a lot more than I had. I think because it was like the perfect tool. It was a perfect, you know, tool to utilize creatively. That I'd always like, what if a guitar could do this and it could do this, and it had, you know, had these all these nuances that I always hoped for. So once it was done, yeah, it was just kind of off to the races. I couldn't stop playing and couldn't stop writing. You know, and it would just kind of inspire certain kinds of riffs. So once I had so many of these riffs, I was like, well, it'd be cool to, you know, turn these into songs. And so, yeah, it definitely informed me. I think it would be a different record had I not come across that guitar. Yeah, without a doubt.
I heard you say before that you feel like you're a guitar player, and the vocal things, that's it just came. But how... how is it then to make a solo album? It must feel nice to, do the solos and do everything for once.
I'm a total guitar nerd. I mean, it hasn't changed. You know, I started playing guitar a long time ago. I was 14 years old, and I was just enamored with it. out of the gate, it's all I could think about. You know, I remember going to school and I just couldn't wait to get home and play. And it's, you know, 40 years later, I'm still in that mind space, you know? And yeah, so with the solo records, it is the opportunity to, you know, solo a lot more, you know, improvise and play lead. Because obviously with Slash, he's got that covered. With Alter Bridge, Mark's in the band and he's a great guitar player. And he's cool enough to be like, hey, you know, we'll split the solo duty, we'll split the lead duties, which is, I really appreciate. But with this, it all falls on me. So I do enjoy that. In a lot of ways, the solo records are kind of becoming an excuse to play guitar, strangely enough.
And obviously, you can also sing very well. How did you become this singer that everyone calls when they need a really good singer? Is it like, it seems like it, because you're everywhere and you're singing so good.
Oh, thank you. I fooled a few people, I think. I think maybe that's what happened. I don't know. I started singing out of necessity just because I couldn't find a singer where I lived. And I was writing all these songs and I just was like, okay, well, I'll just try and do it myself. But I was really shy and still kind of am. I'm still not hard. Like, I know a lot of like great front men and they just kind of have this larger than life presence. And I've never really been hardwired that way. You know, I've always thought of myself more as a writer and as a guitar player. So it's something that I had to adapt to kind of survive. But I do like it. You know, I do enjoy it. I do enjoy there's something that happens when you're standing on stage and you're singing and you're expressing yourself. It's the same thing as like playing a lead and playing guitar. You know, it's expression, you know, you're taking something, you're channeling it. And then hopefully it's affecting somebody in a positive way. So yeah, I don't take it lightly and I do love it. But it was, like I said, it was born out of necessity. I just couldn't find somebody initially.
Mm-hmm. I'm in a band myself, and in periods, it's like the other guys. These dates we are playing gigs, and you have to throw everything else. But you got more projects. So is there one project you're doing, Slash, Alter Bridge, solo, that what do you choose if there's a crash there in the booking of tours and everything?
A bottleneck, as they say in the biz.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a delicate dance. And fortunately, between my manager and our booking agent, and Slash's manager and booking agent, and you know, the whole thing, they managed to make it work. I think everybody, the way to navigate those waters are to plan well in advance and for them to all be communicating. That's kind of paramount. So fortunately, I haven't been put in a position where it's like, you're going to have to quit this project, you know, because there's just not enough time. It's kind of a miracle, you know, in a lot of ways, just given, you know, how much traffic there is. But I think part of why it's worked is because now they've all, you know, Alter Bridge, Mark's got the Tremonti and they've got Creed now. You know, obviously Slash has Guns N' Roses. Now he has the blues, you know, the thing he just did there, which is awesome. So it everybody's got all these various kind of planets in their solar system, and you just make it work. And it seems to be, you know, knock on wood, continuing to work, you know, 15, 20 years later.
And you're coming to Europe soon, Norway, Oslo. And I actually live in Belgium. So the nearest gig for me will be Tilburg, Netherlands, I think, actually.
Nice.
Hope to see you there. How do Miles Kennedy relax before a tour?
There's no relaxing in rock and roll. No. a lot of practicing. So like even like last night's a good example, like knowing this tour's coming up, and we just did rehearsals last week, right? Had the band over and we rehearsed all week and it went great. But even when I'm sitting there and my wife's away on a trip right now. So I was just hanging out with the dog and we were watching some movies and I'm like, gosh, I really should be practicing right now. So I kept the movie on and I grabbed my guitar and I just started running through the songs for the 100th time, you know, it just, a little bit of relaxing. So, you know, movie time, but also try and kind of woodshed a little bit, because with the tour coming up, especially where I'm the only guitar player, it's a three piece, you know, I'm going to have to be really, really well rehearsed to where I'm not thinking about any of this stuff. So it's a lot of practice.
So let's celebrate this new album with some nostalgia. I myself started in a marching band playing the saxophone, and I heard that you played the trumpet actually. Can you remember the moment, the music, the band, the moment you felt that, oh my God, this rock thing, I have to pursue this, I have to do this?
Yeah. Well, that's, before I say that, I will say it's cool that you're in the marching band. I rarely do I get to do interviews with fellow band geeks, as we call ourselves.
And jazz band, actually. So
nice.
I wanted to be a jazz musician, and then I started singing rock songs instead.
That's amazing. Yeah, I'm with you. I love jazz. But the moment, yeah, for rock, the moment where it was like, oh, I want to do this, it was in the same afternoon. I was playing in the backyard with my little brother, and we had a little stereo playing in the little boombox, and I heard Eruption by Van, you know, Eddie Van Halen. And I was like, what is that? And that's amazing. And then a few hours later, Whole Lot of Love came on. So, you know, Jimmy Page and Eddie Van Halen were the guys for me and out of the gate. And that's what made me want to rock.
The name of my podcast is in Norwegian Gammal Maiden. It's old maiden, vintage maiden, because my first moment like that was Iron Maiden. And I heard your The Trooper, you played The Trooper during the COVID period, nice cover. You said something about your relationship with Iron Maiden there. Can you tell me, do you remember the first time you heard Iron Maiden, Miles?
I do. I believe it was on the radio, and it was Number of the Beast. And it was, you know, hearing that narrative at the beginning, woe to you, O earth and sea, you know, blah, all that stuff. And it was just like, what is happening? It was kind of the same thing where it just drew me in, and then the riff kicked in, and then Bruce's voice. But then seeing the video, and seeing what they were about, and then obviously the album cover, and it was kind of just the perfect combination of everything, especially for a young boy like I was. You know, it's just like it had all the elements that, as you know, just drew you in. So it's not surprising that after all this time, they're still as relevant as they are, because they kind of have the perfect formula, right? They just kind of translates no matter where you are. But yeah, that was a big one. And then I got Number of the Beast, and then I Peace of Mind, and I was just like, and then when I heard the live version of the Live After Death version of Rime of the Ancient Mariner, I was just like totally down with that. I love that.
And the moral of this story is, this is what not to do if your bird shits on you. The Rime of the Ancient
God, that's my favorite. And why The Trooper? Because I heard you wanted to do an American version, more acoustic, and you picked a song about a war from 200 years ago. Why that song?
Well, I think it was because I wasn't even thinking about the lyric. It was more, I was touring on Year of the Tiger. I think that was the record where I started doing it. And I was trying to fill out the set. And so I was laying in my bunk one night in the bus thinking about the next show. I was like, you know what would be kind of cool is if I took The Trooper and kind of molded it with stylistically, like how Johnny Cash would approach it. So, had the foot stomp going. And I thought that might be kind of fun, you know, and then I get the crowd to sing along on the chorus. And it was really just kind of a whim. It was just something I thought I'd do maybe for that next show, and then maybe do a different cover the next night. But it went over so well, it became a staple in the set, to the point now where I talk about it enough, I almost feel like it probably has to be in the set because people seem to really gravitate towards it. It's just, and that highlights just how great of a song it is. You know, it's just, if a song is written well, it'll translate any way you play it. And so hats off to those guys.
The smell of backward smoking horse's breath as I plunge into the certain death.
After hearing Eruption and Led Zeppelin and stuff, what happened? Did you have a community around you with other rockers and could start a band right away? How did you grow up with rock?
Yeah, there were a lot of little aspiring rock and rollers in my community. It's not a real big town. Spokane's not a large place, but we had a lot of little rockers. So it was easy to put bands together. And what was really cool for me was there were a lot of really amazing young guitar players. Like, I was kind of lucky because, you know, I feel like if you're swimming in the pool with people who are just like mediocre and don't have a work ethic or a talent, then, you know, what's the point? You know, you'll kind of, you might just get lazy. And these people that I was surrounded with were so talented. You know, there were guys who could play Eruption by the time they were 50, you know, they had it down, or they were playing. There was one guy in particular who could play like a lot of the Yngwie stuff, you know, and that was, if you could do that, you were like, whoa. And these guys were good. So I had to practice a lot to keep up with these guys. And so I'm really grateful for that. And then I had a great guitar teacher too, you know, this guy named Joe Brash, who still teaches here in Spokane, and he was a massive influence on me. So I was super, super lucky.
And what was the first thing you had to sing then? Because in one moment you had to get the question, can anyone sing in this band? Or how did you try singing the first time?
So the first time, it was in my second band I was in, and we were playing a battle of the bands, and there were like five of us. So we just had to play five songs. And what we worked out, since none of us really wanted to sing, each one of us would sing a song. And so I got picked to do Rock and Roll by Led Zeppelin. And that's how we ended up opening up the set. So I sang that one song. I was like 16 or something. And I was terrified. I was terrified, let alone, it was the first time I'd ever played a rock show with a guitar. And then to also have to sing it at the same time was a daunting task. But it went okay. It went all right. But what's interesting is then I didn't sing again, like be a lead singer for years. Because I played in bands with these really cool lead singers who were like good front men, you know, like they were like, you know, they looked cool and they, you know, they had the whole thing down. And I was like this nerdy band geek, right? So I wasn't going to be that guy. But I didn't start really singing until I started writing songs in my early 20s. And I was like, okay, I should learn how to do this and just accept it.
But you got this amazing range. You could fill in for Bruce Dickinson anytime. So.
Oh, I don't know about that. There's only one Bruce.
Yeah, there is. But you had to have a hunch that, oh my God, I've got a great voice before you got 20.
No, I kind of took it for granted. So I just thought everybody could sing. I didn't really listen. It's so funny because I didn't really listen to singers. I was more obsessed with, I was the guy that would fast forward to the guitar solo. I was like, okay, let's get past all this. I want to hear what the guitar solo is doing. That's what a guitar nerd I was. But, you know, it wasn't until probably my mid-20s that suddenly people or they'd say, they just tell me things. They'd be like, well, you do know that what you do is, you know, whatever. And I was really, I just thought everybody could do this. So, okay, well, cool. But where's my guitar?
It seems like you rarely have problems with the voice, because singers have problems because you use the voice and you beat it like hell every night. But it seems like you avoid the problems like that. How do you do that?
Well, I try, but I'm human. There are times when you get sick. There are times when, you know, I have nasty allergies, all the things that you kind of have to deal with and navigate, as you know. So you just do the best you can. And for me, it's really about not, if I am going to get on stage and I know it's not at 100%, it's really a matter of just making sure that I go up there with a smile and tell the crowd, okay, you know, I've got a cold or whatever it is. We're going to get through this together, as opposed to just freaking out. But yeah, I think some of it's just because I've been doing it for so long, and you just learn how to navigate and use your voice in a way that won't hurt it for the subsequent shows.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of using like a clear voice. There's a lot of growling nowadays, like screamos and stuff. But in your new album, The Art of Letting Go, I can hear grunge in there, some metal and classic rock and everything. What inspired you to make these songs? Because maybe they could go into an Alter Bridge album, some of them, but what inspired you to make the songs on this album?
I think a lot of what inspired it was a conversation that I had with our drum tech, the solo thing. And he commented that with the first two records, we would change the arrangements live and they would rock because we're a three-piece. And that's just a good way to make it so dynamically we could get by night after night. He said, have you ever thought of recording these songs this way? And I said, well, what if we just made a whole new record that were written as they were going to be performed? So I think that was a lot of it that lent itself to being more riff based and louder and whatnot. But the concern there is it going to be, are the lines going to blur with the other projects? Because that's the formula, you know, you've got riffs and it's loud and my voice on top of it. So for me, that was the delicate dance. I think as far as with Alter Bridge, there are moments where you could say, yeah, a song like Miss You When You're Gone could have worked on like an Alter Bridge record from 15 years ago. I don't know if that would work now, but I think that because Alter Bridge has a heavier, you know, we drop tune a lot more and it's more, there's more of a almost a metal influence there. This is definitely coming at it with my influences, which are more, you know, a lot of 70s stuff, a lot of blues based stuff. And there's a certain swagger and a certain, you know, as Keith Richards said, you know, it's the whole rock and roll. Some bands rely more on the rock. And with this record, I wanted to make sure there's plenty of roll as well. And that would help differentiate between this and Alter Bridge.
And the video too, Miss You When You're Gone song with a ghost, beautiful video. I'm a guy that cries a lot, but so I came some tears there. How involved are you in the videos, ideas and stuff?
It really depends on the video. Yeah, so you know, and that was a video, and I don't feel bad about the crying because everybody I've talked to has had the same reaction to that video, myself included. I remember showing it to my wife. We were on a plane and we got the first edit and she's sitting there and I was like, okay, I'm going to show you the first edit of this, but you should probably keep your sunglasses on. And she's like, why? I go, just trust me. She's like, okay. So she watched it and then sure enough, it got her, you know, and I was like, yeah, it's just having this effect on everybody. But that was an idea that my manager, Tim, he's real creative when it comes to like, I think he watches a lot of movies and stuff. And so that was a concept that he had floating around his head for a while. And I think it just worked perfectly with the song. And then the director and the illustrator animator did a brilliant job of really conveying the emotions. I was very happy with how that video turned out. And I cried as well. So
nice to hear that other guys do that now and then. I think we have two more minutes, so I got some questions in my podcast that seems weird, maybe. Why talk about Iron Maiden so much? But if you were on this remote island and you got to choose one Iron Maiden song you could hear once on that island, what Maiden song would that be, you think?
Oh man, that's a tough one. There's so many good ones. I'm gonna say the live version of Rime of the Ancient Mariner. Yeah, I love that. It's so good.
There goes the Mariner, there comes the ship of the night. How can she sail with
Nyttårssalget i gang hos Dressmann. Nå får du opp til 70% rabatt på et stort utvalg skjorter, gensere, bukser og mye, mye mer. Opp til 70% rabatt ved kjøp av to eller flere varer. Salget finner du i butikk og på dressmann.com.
Fiken presenterer et superenkelt regnskapsprogram for å sende faktura fra bedriften din.
Det var jo enkelt.
Fiken, et superenkelt regnskapsprogram.
You're listening to a podcast. I'm Bruce Dickinson. You're not, and you're listening to Gamal Maiden.
Do you remember the video too, the VHS? I don't know if you had it, but I saw it like once a day or something, twice.
Oh, really? No, I never got that. I never had that. I should probably check that out though. I just had the record, the Live After Death record, but I didn't have the video.
Oh my God. You're in for a ride because of the stage and the mummies and the pharaohs, Egyptian theme. It's really, really nice.
Thanks.
And final question, the production on this next tour, you're only three guys. It must be nice and easy to travel around as a trio.
It is nice. And we like each other. So that's important. Yeah, it's a good hang, man. I in a lot of ways, and this is the truth. I'm making these solo records at this point as an excuse to play guitar and as an excuse to hang out with my buddies. I mean, that's and not just the band, my crew. We use the same crew. It's just a great camp. Yeah, man, life is good. I'm really a lucky dude.
And your dog is really kind. Didn't make a noise back there. So, what kind of dog is it?
He's a Shih Tzu, and his name's Mozart, and he's actually been really good. He knows we're talking about him. And what's funny is when we finish this, like he knows when people are finishing conversations because he'll sit there and he'll get up and like, is it time for a treat?
So nice. And good luck with your tour and the release and everything. It's not out yet in the U.S.?
No, it's not out for another, I don't know, 9 hours or something like that.
Yeah. I will have it in 2 hours, so we're Sweet. Ahead of you.
Sweet.
So welcome to Europe when you get here, and thank you so much for the conversation.
Thank you. I appreciate you and your time. I love talking rock. All right. You have a great night.
Same to you, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Gammal Maiden med Torkel Torsvik, en podcast fra Radio Rock.
Akkurat som jeg trodde. Røddig fyr. Utrolig hyggelig. Enkel å prate med. Selv med trøndersk stotterandes engelsk aksang. Steiket av en heldig fyr da. Skulle gjerne hatt stemmen hans altså. Men.
Du har hørt en podcast fra Podplay. En enklere måte å høre podcast på. Last ned appen Podplay, eller se podplay.no.
Nyttårssalget i gang hos Dressmann. Nå får du opp til 70% rabatt på et stort utvalg skjorter, gensere, bukser og mye, mye mer. Opp til 70% rabatt ved kjøp av to eller flere varer. Salget finner du i butikk og på dressmann.com.